I'm going to read a little inside Perek Tes. Okay, so we summed up yesterday that there are two ways for us to live our lives. This is the Rabbi Shmuel way, and then this is the Rabbi Yishmael Bar Yochai way. The Rabbi Shmuel way is the way most people are, and that's the Gemara says most people should be, is that they are Haneg Bahen Minag Derech Eretz. You have to be Oisik in Derech Eretz, you have to be Oisik in Parnassah, and at the same time, keep in mind your Torah, your learning. As opposed to Rabbi Shmuel people, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai people give up the world just for the sake of Torah. Okay? So he explains, again, I mentioned this overview the other day, but now we're going to, let's just read it. I'll read it with you and see the wording he says. He said, Dora Midbar, the generation that left Egypt and was in the Midbar, they ate off the table of Hashem. Lechem min hashamayim, heavenly bread, on a daily basis. And the Anani HaKavod fixed their clothes for them. So what expenses did they have? They had Anani HaKavod, they had rent, they had room, board, clothing. They had absolutely no need for parnasa. The Divrei HaKol, even Rabbi Yishmael would agree. If a guy like that would go ahead and say, no, I want to work part-time, what are you, crazy? You don't work part-time. You have all your needs, all your expenses paid for. It would not be considered doing the Ratzon Hashem. They have to look straight at Hashem and face Hashem all day and learn straight His Torah all day. So in the Midbar, they have to be on their best, on 100% focus, because Hashem said, "I took away all your problems." You know, the Gemara says that by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had to do a din Torah, he would say, "Hamotzi mechaveo al avaraya." When there's a fight between two people, then the person who wants to prove that the other guy owes him the money, he has to prove it. So the question is, what in the world were they fighting about? What type of dinei Torah did they have in the Midbar? What were they fighting? Who had anything to fight over? Right?
They didn't do any commerce, any business, you don't think?
I don't know. From that Gemara, it seems like they did do some commerce. But the question is, what for?
They had a lot of animals, you know. That was like, that was valuable stuff.
I know, but if you think about it, it's pretty crazy. They know they're going to die in the Midbar, right? And they know that they are going to, and they have all their food for them, and what are you fighting about? It's absurd.
I feel like them sometimes. We have everything we need. What are we breaking our heads for all this? What do we need to, you know? We should just put our heads in the books and then.
Right, I'll let you say it. That's why I let you say it. I don't want to say it myself. So fine. So at that time in the Midbar, Yoimam v'layla l'yomosh b'pm, they had to learn all day. Dvarim kechsavan mamish. They had to learn all the time. B'lina toysel atzad klal. Afsha kala le'isek parnasa. They would not be allowed to be oisek in parnasa.
Eli.
Uchamamaram zal.
I think so.
Hold on.
I think so. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Right? That the Torah was not given. Hashem specifically gave the Torah to those who ate the man. So what position did Moshe Rabbeinu, when he set up the Kruvim originally, what position did he set them up in? Facing each other 100%. Because we are facing Hashem. We are spending all our days learning in the days of the Midbar. We saw Hashem straight. However, when it came to the days of Shlomo HaMelech, they had to get involved in Parnasa. So they couldn't be Isaac and learning all day. So they had to move away from their primary focus being Hashem all day, and they had to face the side a little. At that moment, Shlomo HaMelech, when he built his Kruvim, he also built the Kruvim facing to the side. No problem, go, we got to work. It's in Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is a high level. So it's telling me you're allowed to go work. Rak, Shagam Be'es Iskam B'Parnasi Alibam Noeg B'Chochma Behir or Divrei Torah. They have to be they have to be thinking and learning. They have to be involved in learning. But the point is that they were a little bit faced to the side. לכן, העמידו אז בתחילה את הקרובים לפי מה שהיו עושים רצוין של מקום. So originally, Moshe Rabbeinu made, they made it like it was halfway. פני מצודות מעט, a little bit face to the side. Fine. Then he asks the question in the next paragraph. He says, אחר הקטי, למה הוצחו לעמד בית הקרובים מצודותים? So like we said the other day, so why do they have to make that both קרובים were facing side to side? They could have made that the קרוב of Hashem is straight, looking at the Jewish people, and only the crew of the Jewish people slightly faced to the angle, right? Haloya kruva achet sharama zalobis barach hayotzuchim la'amida yashar. Omnom ha'inyan kamosha kasavnu. It's like we explained, she's chabruso yizbarach kavyochol la'aylamais, Hashem's connection to the worlds, v'akochos kulam, v'chol sidreim yizkashrusam, and everything that, the way they're connected, interconnected, v'chin kol sidre hanhoglis yizbarach. Itano, and the way Hashem behaves with us, who kifishir hatnua v'ha'isoyer samagia aleim mima'aseinu l'matzis, the way we behave down here. The way we behave down here, that's going to determine how we behave up there. V'nimshach gam eleinu l'mata l'panim shochakos u'mazbiris. And then, if we face Hashem, Hashem will face us. If we don't, we don't. I just wanted to read that inside. It's a very nice lashon. Okay, so that's the sum up of chapters 7, 8, and 9. Okay? Now, in chapter 10, he starts introducing an amazing concept. Here's a question he introduces in chapter 10. Question. Who's on a higher level? Angel or human being? Malach or Adam? Who's higher? Who's higher? So, I think most people would think an angel, no? Angel's more spiritual, probably. Right? So he says, no, he says, look, Al Pizei Yivur Pesha Adar, chapter 10. He says, there's a Shinu Deus, there's a big machloikis, if you look through the philosophical works of the Rishonim, who's higher? Im Ha'adam mi Yisrael, Godol mi Malach, is a Jew higher than a Malach? O Malach, Godol mi Menu, or is the Malach higher than the Jew? V'chol Echad Mishnei Adeus, maybe Raius, but if you look at the Sfarim, there's proofs to both ways. So how do we determine the emes, right? If it's machloikas, some people prove that angel is higher, some people prove human being is higher. A Jew, I shouldn't say human being, a Jew is higher. So how do we know? So what do we do? Apid varino now, but according to everything we've been saying, then elu ve'elu divrei lukim chayim, they're both true. And let me explain. Kivadai, malach gadol meha adam, it's poshut, an angel is more holy in terms of their spiritual makeup. Hein be'etzem ahusay, because of they have no guf. Hein be'goydol kedushasay v'niflois hasagasay. A malach can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu much more clearly. He has a hesig, a musag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has an understanding of Hashem that we cannot understand. He's closer to Hashem in that way. Ein erech v'dimyon b'nei, we can't even compare what we see from Hashem to what he sees about Hashem. V'chomo shekasa b'zohar chadosh bereshis, like it says in the Zohar, it says, "Hasagas ha-malachim, ki hasaga gedola." The understanding of a malach about Hashem and his seeing of Hashem is tremendous. We can't have that hasaga. Mashaykin lamata mehem hasaga shnia. We're like dust. Malachim elyonim and kedoshim yoisim eitanu. So the angels are holier than us. Omnam, this is the main line here. Omnam, however, b'davar echad, there's one area yisrin gadol la'adam me'amalach. In one area, we are greater than the Malach. But who? What's that area? Ha'alas v'iskashrus ha'ilamos v'akoychos v'ha'oyreis echad b'chaverin. In terms of affecting the interlocking system that the worlds are created in, like we've been explaining, the worlds are interlocked one with the other, right? Until the most spiritual world, right, is interlocked as the neshama of the world underneath it, and all the neshamos are intertwined, and a little bit of an effect on the higher world affects everything, right? Like we explained, like gears. You have a little gear and a bigger gear. You move the top gear a little bit, all of a sudden everything moves a lot, right? So in terms of affecting the worlds, he says, "Ashazeh ein b'kach klal l'shom malach." A malach has no effect on the worlds. A malach cannot affect anything. A malach cannot affect the worlds. Because an angel is just one single spiritual force in the world. But we are made up of all the forces of the world. Like we said last time, Hashem put a little bit of each koach of the Bria into us. And therefore, when we do mitzvahs, we're empowering all the forces of all the Bria. So, like we said before, let's say there's a force in the Bria called Mayim, giving pranasa. That force in the Bria is connected to our hands. When we do shake the lulav, we are empowering the forces of Mayim in the Bria. And now that force of Mayim it can now give better water, right? So that's what, or staka tatzalim. The way these schools work, staka tatzalim avis, or the Mishnah Perkei Avos that says if you don't give staka devar bol olam, different things. Every act that we do is connected to the worlds in a way that we can't. Yeah, right.
You know, at the beginning we described Tzelem Hashem like Elohim, like people. Right. Like we're the force.
We're the force, yeah.
Our angels also have the element of Elohim? No. So that's how we're higher, right?
Exactly. Correct. Well, that's the connection here. All the way back to the Parak Aleph. Right? We're the Tzelem Elohim. We're created in the image of Hashem. And that means we have the ability to affect the worlds, but angels can't. Okay? To the point, it doesn't say it here. Okay, I'm not going to jump ahead. Really want to, but I'm going to wait for it next week when he says this. Okay, but that's the next chapter. So he says, in reality, you're right. The Malach is more holy, whatever that means, more kadosh, more spiritual than us. But the Malach has less of an effect on the planet, on the universe, on the galaxies than we do, because our actions go all the way around and affect the Tzel Melokim aspect. So therefore, we are the ones that are the neshama of the Bria, right? Like we said, we're the ones that are putting in force spiritual power into all Bria. V'gam aliyas atzmusa shel malach ad mashrigaso. Now this is an unbelievable part. And is it not only that, you want to know something? If the malach wants to grow, he has to ask permission from us. The malach can't even grow in his spirituality unless we empower him to do so. Right? Because the malach is created, like it says, Ein tolui boi ba'atzmo, l'chein kruim ha-malachim oimdim. The malach is called an omed. He's standing in one place. Asrafim are oimdim. The pasuk says the angels are standing. Maybe that's why in Shemoneh Esrei, when we're supposed to look like angels, your feet are supposed to be together, because they can't go anywhere. The malach can't walk. What does it mean he can't walk? It means spiritually speaking, whatever mission he was created for, whatever level he's created to understand, whatever hasag he's meant to have, he has it. That's it. He's created, and that's where he stays. He can't go anywhere. The malach can only go somewhere if the human being empowers him to do so by doing a certain mitzvah. So the malach can come down and say, yo, buddy, I'll help you do a mitzvah. And if I help you do a mitzvah, then I go on a higher level. So the malach himself needs us in order to be able to change his level, to grow his level. That's the way it works, right? So our actions actually dictate the spiritual level of the malach. So he says, you want to know, is a malach better, holier, or is a malach than a human, than a Jew, or is a Jew holier than a malach? The answer is, it depends what you're talking about. You want to understand, objectively speaking, who's on a, where is there more kedusha, and where does the malach have a more of an understanding of spiritual things than we do, is more refined? Yes, the malach is higher. But you want to know who has the greater impact on the planet, whose mitzvahs are on a higher level? Ours are, because our mitzvah can actually affect the whole Bria.
Rabbi, let me ask you another question. When you go to the Olam Haba, do you still have the attribute of Elohim, or at that point in time, you kind of stop affecting?
Olam Haba, that's why Yafesh Shachas Mitzvah Talmud Torah Mikol Chayei Olam Haba. One moment of learning Torah is higher than the entire Olam Haba. Because so, Olam Haba, you're stuck.
Yeah, so now, would you say that if you get to the Olam Haba, then you would lose that attribute that puts you
closer? Correct. Yeah, however, everyone says that there's one way to continue growing in Olam Haba is through people down here, similar to what we're saying in the Malach. So therefore, if a person leaves over a way to mashpia on others down here, so then now through the people, he's growing. So a person after they're dead, but then someone learns their Torah, or someone says over a story about them that inspires other people, or they have an estate and they gave over tzedakah, and whatever, so all those things gives chos to the neshama, there's obviously, it goes without saying, the children of the neshama, and those people do mitzvahs, and that empowers the neshama to continue growing. So the way the neshama continues growing is similar to that of a malach. He needs the people down here to do it for him. By the way, it says that's why on Rosh Hashanah it says Sifri Chaim v'Sifri Mesim P'suchim. It says on Rosh Hashanah the books of the dead and the books of the life are open in front of Hashem. So the Sifri Chaim, I understand, they have to be open because Hashem is judging them. But what does it mean the Sifri Mesim, the book of the dead people, is open? What open for what? So the answer is Hashem is rejudging the Nifter, the dead people. How is he rejudging them? He's rejudging them based on what type of impact do they have this year on people in this world. Because the person's neshama can continue to grow.
Malachim don't have mitzvot, right?
Oh, no. A malach is created like in Parshas Vayera, right? A malach is only created to perform as a shliach of Hashem, to do one mission.
Right, so that's not a mitzvah, right? It's not like he has no free choice in the matter.
They have no choice.
Right, so...
Yeah, so they're obviously not growing.
Right, that's why what we do is much higher, because we have
Bechira, and we're created from all the spiritual forces. A malach is only created with one spiritual force, that which he was created for. So the malach of Parnassa can affect Parnassa in the world, but he cannot affect Refuah in the world. But we do both, because we were created with all the forces in the world. So we are we pull all the strings, the Parnassa strings, the Refuah strings, you know.
So by us doing certain actions, we influence the Malachim to do certain actions? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know who we influence, but we influence in the upper spiritual
world. Because you said that they're counting on us.
Well, because eventually I think that the Hashpah that we have, depending on how high you are, connects you to the higher worlds. And eventually that starts trickling down through the Malachim as well, probably. You know, but so that's what he says here. He says, "Raka Adam Levad, who am Me'alav Amekasher Umiyachid Es Ha'olamus." He connects all the worlds together. Ma'ha'oros Mikach Myself, and the light that comes down. Makoshu Kolul Mikulam, because again, we are our spiritual formula. We're made up with pieces, with connectors, with adapters to all the worlds. Vaz Gama Malach Masig Alea B'Tisevus Kedusha Kedusha. So through that is how the Malach grows. A Shabam Mikach Myse Adam. In a sense, the force that creates the malach is within us. So it's a tremendously powerful thought if you think about it. You know, you're like, listen, you go put on tefillin, all of a sudden, the malach in charge of people's arms or whatever, right, is all of a sudden like, hey, I can go do stuff now. I was waiting for this. I needed some people to put on tefillin to do something today. He can't do it until he has that spiritual, you know, he has to charge. He's like a plug in into the charging station. We're like the charging station. You got to get it from us. So that's the concept over here.
Rabbi, is it possible to say that the wind or the sun or the nature is malach, malachim?
I think it could be that there's a mazel, a spiritual force that is in charge, that Hashem empowers with the ability to do that. But I think that they say that the teva is really the direct ratzon of Hashem. The nature that we see it obviously goes through channels until it's manifest in this world. So something like that, but basically, I don't know if a malach is in charge of it. I'm not sure. It says in the Gemara Tainis that a malachim are not in charge of rain. That's for sure. Right, the rain comes straight from Hashem. So, you know, I don't want to. It's like very nerve wracking to talk about this stuff because you could say the wrong thing and you become an upper curse. So it's like you want to be very careful what you're saying about this stuff. So just trying to be careful. So
the malachim that Yaakov sent to Esau. Are we talking about the same category of malachim or different?
It's a machlokes in the mafarshim, but Rashi says it was malachim mamish, right? The Rashbam says it was just messengers. So it's a machlokes in Yerushalayim. But the idea is that, you know, how could Yaakov send malachim? You want to know? I mean, who is he? The same concept. Yaakov, I guess, had certain control over the spiritual forces to connect them, to send them to do that shlichus. You know, so yeah, that's a good point. Is that you see from there also the Yaakov, the man, had an ability to control the Malachim. I'm going to talk next week about the incredible pshat of the Nefesh HaChaim that comes up next week, in next week's chapters, about the dream of Yaakov Avinu in last week's parsha. The dream of the dream of the Sulam.
Going up and down.
Yeah, the dream of the Sulam, he says, represents the Adam, and it says it represents the person, and the Malachim, again, going up and down is all based on us. The Malachim go up and down has to go through us. So it's literally this concept that we're saying, he says, is represented by the dream that Yaakov Avinu had in last week's parsha. So next week we'll get into that, and we'll get into a few bunch of more interesting concepts about this, okay?
Stay tuned, 8:30
p.m.
Stay tuned, everyone, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Shalom. Have a good job, everyone. Shalom. Aaron, nice to see you. See, we got a...
You too.
Nice to see you around. So you hopped onto the share?
I hopped on. My wife stuck it in front of me, and it's it's good.
Okay. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Shabbos.
Okay. Shabbos. We'll see you all.
Bye-bye.